India has lured millions of jobs away from the developed world with its highly skilled, lower-paid workers. Now India is attracting a new kind of outsourcing. Multinational pharmaceutical companies are flocking to India, not so much to sell drugs, but to test them. Fred DeSam-Lazaro of Twin Cities Public Television has this report.
They hold outpatient eye clinics 3 afternoons a week at St. George's, one of the oldest public hospitals in Mumbai, which is also called Bombay. Dozens of patients await their turn, many crowded around the table where Dr. Yasmin Bhagat sits.
On an average day, we see maybe about 200 patients, some old, some new, some operated, some with some medical problems of the eye.
But none for more than about 5 minutes. The Spartan assembly line care may reflect the grim reality of India's poverty, but that's not how Dr. Vidya Acharya, a clinician and researcher, sees it.
We are very rich. We are very rich in our clinical material. So what if we are a poor country?
What do you mean by clinical material?
Types, variety of disorders that we see.
Lots of people with a great variety of diseases.
Yes, great variety of diseases.
Some 30 million people in India have heart disease. Almost that many are thought to be diabetic, and tens of millions suffer from various types of cancer and psychiatric disorders. Dr. Vijay Kumar says that makes India the perfect testing ground for new drugs, for clinical trials, the tedious, expensive, and critical tests that determine if a drug is approved for the market. Kumar runs a 2-year-old research firm called Neiman Medical.
India can give you 1/3 more patients in 1/3 less time. So you save in quantity, you gain in quantity and save time.
What's more, Kumar says Indian patients make good trial subjects for new pharmaceuticals because most have never taken any drugs. He says, take the example of new cancer drugs. In developed countries, they're usually tested in patients with advanced disease.
These patients are by and large not available, not freely available in the developed nations or the traditional geographic areas because everybody is treated. Not everybody goes to stage 3 or 3B or 4 of a particular cancer of the lung or cancer breast or prostate or something like that. Whereas in our country, because of, again, poor access and various other factors, people come pretty late in a malignant state, in a moribund state, to the investigators.
For these patients, Kumar says getting into a study means getting drugs that may extend their lives. Eye specialist Bhagat says the meticulous requirements of international trials also sharpen doctors' skills.
For example, for a patient of conjunctivitis, I may normally just spend about 3 to 4 minutes examining him. But when you are in a clinical trial, we see them in a much, much greater detail. We have to take the conjunctival swabs, which one doesn't do for everybody. So it's very time-consuming, but it's quite exciting, and we do learn a lot also, and it does help the patient also.
But the idea of patients enrolling simply because it's the only way to get good care, or any care, troubles some ethicists.
Certainly it's not the job of the pharmaceutical industries around the world to provide health care for the masses. That's not their role.
Dr. Jeffrey Kahn heads the Ethics Center at the University of Minnesota Medical School.
By the same token, they shouldn't be going in and taking advantage of the dire straits of people to do clinical trials more cheaply.
He says a central tenet of clinical research is that subjects be well informed of the risks and that the research should benefit society. Kahn says there cannot be two societies, one taking the risk, the other the benefits.
There needs to be some assurance that the research that's being done would devolve, the benefits of it would go to the population from whom the participants come, so that the drugs would be used, say, in diabetics in India, if it was a diabetes clinical trial using Indian subjects, and not to develop a new drug that would be used in Western Europe and the United States solely.
Indian clinical trial companies see things differently.
No, I think it's the other way around.
Dr. Swati Piramal heads a family-owned conglomerate that's branched into the clinical trials business. She says doing research in India will bring down costs and make drugs affordable to everyone, including many, many Indian patients.
In the year 2010, there are going to be more diabetics anywhere in the world. Most of them will be in India. drugs which are being developed on the backs of Indian people will not only benefit our country, but will benefit people everywhere at an affordable cost, at a very good quality.
But some experts worry about the quality of research methods. Will patients, desperate to enroll so they can get care, lie about their medical histories? Will doctors take advantage of patients whose poverty and illiteracy make them especially vulnerable in India? Dr. Vasantha Muthuswamy is with the Indian Council on Medical Research, a quasi-governmental agency.
The trial goes on, data is submitted, but what has happened in the trial? How really was the trial conducted? Who has done an independent monitoring?
India's parliament is expected to soon pass into law many guidelines drawn up by the Research Council. They require ethics committees to monitor trials, for example. But even with laws on the books, India has often seen widespread abuses in medicine. For instance, millions of abortions are performed each year after ultrasound scans reveal the fetus is female. Kidneys for transplant are routinely purchased from poor people. For their part, clinical trial companies say corrupted research will quickly backfire and drive away business. Swati Piramal insists that in her company, all trial candidates are thoroughly briefed on their rights and provide genuinely informed consent.
We've had 9 regulatory audits. We've had 3 government audits. We've had NABL accreditation. We've had ISO 9002, ISO 17000. We're doing Six Sigma. I mean, every possible quality accreditation that we can do is our responsibility.
Many international drug companies seem sold. Whether it benefits the Indian public or not, analysts say as many as 2 million people in India could be enrolled in trials by 2010. Just 2 years ago, that figure was perhaps 2,000 or 3,000. For NPR News, this is Fred DeSamlazaro.
All Things Considered is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. To find out about the books and movies you hear on NPR programs, go to our website, npr.org. If you've heard an NPR story you like, you can share it with a friend at npr.org. This is NPR.